Today's message is actually called Water Walkers. Water Walkers. I have a cousin who doesn't live actually too far from here. His name's Bryant Margeson, and he walks on water. I've actually seen pictures of him barefoot on top of the water. The little caveat is that he was holding onto a rope and being pulled by a boat. So he was skiing barefoot. But when you look at the picture, it looked like he was walking on water. Well, it's going to be fitting because in just a little bit, we're going to get into the verses. Scripture you've heard many, many times about Jesus walking on the water and somebody else. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's go to our verses. It's Matthew chapter 14 today, and we're starting with verse 22. Immediately after this, after what? Well, if you were here last week or know the prior verses, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 men plus women and children. After that, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people, the big crowd, home. And after sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. I'm the type of person that when it's time to go home, I get up and I say goodbye and leave. My mom was the type of person that when it was time to go, she would get up and say goodbye, and it took her an hour to leave. You know people like that probably. Jesus is saying it's time to go. He tells the disciples to go. I get in the boat, go to the other side. He tells the crowd, go home, I fed you. And now he can go up to the mountainside to pray alone. And this is one of the few times that we see Jesus completely alone. He sought out a peaceful place so that he could devote his attention to God in prayer. This explains why Jesus was earlier seeking a desolate place for himself and his disciples. He wanted to go to God in prayer. Jesus needed to speak to the Father about the things that were going on in his life. What in the world could Jesus have had going on in his life that he needed to pray to the Father for? Well, Jesus is dealing with thoughts and feelings that are common to all of us and things that are not common to all of us. Once again, we need to be reminded that Jesus was fully God and fully human. Imagine what it would be like to have people doubting you even after you performed miracle after miracle after miracle. The religious leaders hated Jesus. He had to deal with the weight of the people that he grew up with rejecting him, his family, his friends. And I imagine there was that flood of emotions that was still over him as he just learned that his cousin and friend, John the Baptist, had been murdered. And why was he killed? Why was John the Baptist killed? For telling the truth. Wow. And then those 5,000 men and their wives and their children all show up. That's what Jesus was dealing with. That's why he needed to go up into a mountain to be alone. Who knows all the emotions that were going through the mind of Jesus as he went to the mountain to pray to God. But there he is. He's alone. He spends most of the night in prayer. So that's where Jesus is in these verses. Where are the disciples? What are they doing? Well, that's verse 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Jesus struggles with God in prayer. His disciples were struggling with the wind and the sea in their boat. Matthew says that the waves beat them, and he should know he was in the boat. The 12 disciples were in the boat. And Matthew's the one recording this story. They haven't gotten any sleep because they worked hard against the sea all night. And I imagine that they were dead tired, getting no rest and fighting the sea for hours. They are doing everything they can to make it to the other side of the lake. But for some reason, the winds and the sea are against them. Other gospels tell us that this was a significant storm. You see, of the 12 disciples in the boat, four of them are professional fishermen. They've done this all their life. But somehow or other, the storms that they've experienced on the lake were bad, but this one's gone up a notch. And they're scared. And they've been working hard trying to get to the other side. Why? Because that's what Jesus told them to do. I wonder what was going on in their minds. Were they upset because Jesus had sent them away? Were they wondering when they would see him again? I imagine that they were tired from fighting the storm. Maybe they were in a real struggle thinking, we're not going to make it to the other side. This is it for us. This is a storm like we've never seen before. I bet they wish Jesus was in the boat so he could calm the wind. Then they see someone walking on the water, but he's not swimming. How terrifying it would be to see someone out walking in the water with the moonlight right behind them, and all you see is this shadow of someone. And again, the winds and the waves, there's mist in the air, and they're kind of looking like this, and I'd say as a ghost too. They've never seen anything like this. But then listen to what Jesus does, because this is a lesson for us to take home right now at this point. Jesus calls out to them and he says, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Memorize those words. So that when the next time, if you're not already, Carolyn is in a storm right now and she's tired mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually probably, exhausted just from the last few hours. She probably didn't sleep last night. She needs to hear those words. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. These words would let the men know that everything is going to be all right. And we can imagine their relief. And maybe the storm died down just a little bit at this point. And so everyone kind of relaxed. It is Jesus. So verse 28 and beyond goes like this. Then Peter, he's the bold one of the group, called out to Jesus. Lord, if it's really you, we think it is, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. And Jesus says, yes, come. So Peter went to the other side of the boat and walked out on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. What's he yell out? Save me, Lord. And Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him, and then rebukes him. You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? You know, we might laugh at this story at first if we know Peter. Again, he's always the bold one. He's always the first one to raise his hand. I know the answer, teacher. I'll do it. I'll volunteer. I got this. Don't worry. They're not going to hurt you. I'm going to get them. Why would Peter even want to leave the safety of the boat? Again, Peter's been a fisherman for many years, professionally. He knows better than to leave the boat. Some have thought that maybe Peter was just showing off. Others claim he was just foolish. I'm going with that one. But I think Peter wanted to leave the boat because he wanted to embrace Jesus. You know, when we've been through a storm that's lasted a long time, and it's been harder than any storm we've been through, And it's to the point we think, this may be it. I may not make it out of this storm. Then all of a sudden we see someone that can save us. I want to go to that person. As he leaves the boat and comes to Jesus, the winds start to pick up again. Imagine the difficulty of walking on the waves and maintaining balance. I've told you all many times that 14 months ago when I had my surgery, prior to the surgery, the straw broke the camel's back. I'm the camel. I went from just bad back, bad back, bad back. Oh, now I can't walk. Pain was excruciating in my back and all the way down my legs to the end of my toes. The surgery completely took away the pain. I'm thanking God to be pain-free for 14 months. But I still, when I stand without holding on to something, I feel like I'm on a surfboard. I feel like what maybe it would be like if you were walking on waves, even that maybe Peter felt. It's going up and down. But apparently what happened is Peter took his eyes off Jesus. That's where he was focused, and he was walking fine, and then he took his eyes off because he was seeing the storm. Don't we do that? We know about Jesus, and we're in prayer, and we're knowing that Jesus can help us. But then just for a little bit, oh, wait a minute, what's over here? It's something else. You know the old saying, when it rains, it... That's right. And when it starts pouring, that's when we get our eyes off Jesus because we see rain here, rain there. Here's lightning, here's thunder. And that's what happened to Peter. That's a key point to the story today. Focus on Jesus when you're going through a storm. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Then the reality of the situation strikes Peter and he begins to sink. After all, who can walk on the water? Also, who in their right mind would even try to walk on the water, let alone during a storm? I imagine Peter feels like he's made a foolish mistake, but he cries out, Lord, save me. If I could give you a prayer to memorize, that would be it. Lord, save me. It's good that we can memorize our Father who art in heaven. It's a good one. It's a dandy. In fact, that's how Jesus said, this is how I'm teaching you how to pray, when the disciples asked for a lesson. But here's a good prayer to keep in mind. Lord, save me. And Jesus does save him. But then Jesus says some shocking words to Peter. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me? Why would Jesus say that? Peter showed tremendous faith when he got out of the boat and went to meet Jesus. He believed he could walk on the water because Jesus said so. But when the storm picked up, he doubted just for a split second. He started to think that he would die, and it terrified him. It was so brief, but Jesus' evaluation of him was he had little faith. But Jesus doesn't get rid of us because we have little faith, does he? He still loves people. He still loves Peter. He still loves you and me, even when we have little faith. Verse 32 and 33 are next. When they climbed the disciples, Jesus and Peter, when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. The disciples worshiped him, saying this. Matthew records that they said, you really are the Son of God. You really are the Son of God. Peter and Jesus walk on the water back into the boat, and soon the winds die down, and then everyone starts worshiping Jesus, saying that. Now, other places in the Bible, maybe everywhere in the Bible, it says men are commanded not to worship images of men or men themselves, not golden calves, not even angels. But these men fell down at Jesus' feet and began to worship him. And then notice, Jesus does not rebuke them. What they say is true. He is the Son of God. They realize, the disciples realize, this is not just a man like David. This is the Son of God. Man, they've been with him for a while. They've seen miracle after miracle, after miracle after miracle. And now they're just realizing he's the Son of God. I guess better late than never. But up to this point, Jesus has only been called Son of God by demons. Magi from the east have worshipped him as a baby. A leper and a synagogue ruler have knelt before him. Now his disciples are finally realizing who Jesus really is. Jesus saved them from the perils of what seemed like a never-ending storm by walking through it to their rescue. He is worthy of their praise and worship. Now verses 34 through 36. After they finally crossed over the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area. And soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged him to let them touch at least the fringe of his robe. And all who touched him were healed. After they crossed to the other side, the people recognized him, and Jesus picks up right where he left off. Apparently, word is spread all through the area. The word spread that just touching the hem of his garment could cause people to get healed. Wonder where they heard that. I don't know exactly the timeline, but do you remember another story in the Bible where a lady had a bleeding issue and she'd gone to the doctor? Well, first of all, she went to CVS, tried some over-the-counter stuff. That didn't work. She went to the doctor. That didn't work. Her family physician said, go to this specialist. That didn't work. Another specialist. She's doling out cash. There was no insurance card that she could give. This is costing her everything she had. She's out of money, and she's out of options. But she hears that this man Jesus is coming through the area, and he heals people. And she thought to herself, I'm not going to make a big deal of that. I'm not going to yell out and wave my hand and make him stop and heal me. Here's what I'll do. I'll just crawl through the crowd, bleeding and everything. She should never even been out in public. I'll crawl through the crowd, and I'll just reach out best I can and let my tip of my finger touch the hem of his garment. That's a lot of faith. And she was healed. He felt the power go, yeah, the energy, the power go out of him. He knew something happened. He didn't rebuke her, but he recognized. Well, then all the people must have gotten, kind of heard the story. Hey, she touched just the hem of his garment. This situation, we know her because we've said stay away for years. Don't come to our birthday parties. Don't come to our grocery store. Don't come out town. Don't go to the well when the rest of us go. Because you're unclean because you're bleeding. And then they see that she's clean. She's healed. Well, I'm wondering if that story didn't get around. And that's why all those people were heading toward Jesus. And that's why in verse 36 it said, they begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe. In fact, all who did touch him were healed. Well, let me finish with the following application. And there's already been applications. Hopefully you've got those. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Lord, save me. That's a prayer. Okay, the following application. Consider the work we do in obedience to God. How many of us are fighting a battle that resembles what the disciples are going through on the sea? They've spent hours trying to get the ship to the other side, just as Jesus had commanded them, but it won't work. You've been praying that God will help you through this storm, and you're still in the storm. You brought it up on Sunday morning when we said, are there any prayer requests? Yes, in a storm. Thanks. We're all praying for you. Next Sunday, still in a storm. They've spent hours trying to get their ship to the other side. They are beaten. They're worn out. And they're wondering if the struggle will ever end. You know the thing about when we read the Bible stories? We go from verse to verse to verse. Now we're to the end. Everybody's saved. We can clap for Jesus. Great story. What we forget is that these people actually went through it. Hours and hours, they're rowing the boat. Hours and hours, the wind's pushing them. They try to stand up and they're knocked down. They're soaking wet. They're dead tired. They haven't slept. They haven't even taken a break for a moment because they're fighting against this storm that's in their life. And they're struggling. And they don't know it's going to end. The ending hasn't been written for them yet, like it has been for us. I imagine when we are struggling to understand what Jesus is doing in our life, we feel like that. Why is life hard? That storm could also be a sinful desire that just won't go away. It could be a relationship that keeps beating us up for our beliefs. Or maybe we could just fill in the blank with whatever painful event makes your life difficult. We do all we can to work it out ourselves. And that's, God would want us to go to CVS, go to the doctor, go to the specialist, go to the hospital, have physical therapy. At the same time, we're praying. Because he may answer our prayer through one of those resources. But we do try to work it out ourselves. And yet then we're so tired. And we can't get there. We can't get to the other side of the lake. Notice the contrast to Jesus. Jesus had a trial that he was working through. I mentioned all those things at the beginning of the message. And he went up to the mountain to pray about it. And then we see him walking on the stormy sea. And he calms the storm. He has no problem making it across. You know why? Because he knows that his Father is with him. He has no problem. He has so much composure that he cannot help making it across. Do you realize that just as Jesus realized the Father was with him, that we have God with us? If we have committed ourselves to Christ, if we've asked for forgiveness of our sins and asked Jesus to come in and be our Lord and Savior, immediately, not after a certain number of days of attendance at church, not after a certain amount of money has been donated, not after so many hours have been volunteered, but immediately when we give our lives to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in to live in us. So when we're in the boat and we're in the storm and we're tired and we've tried all the earthly things to get through it, just know that God is with us. God is with us. But that's me. I don't know about you, but I've got merit badges for all the times where I've been in the stormy sea and tried to do it myself. But I also have a lot of the merit badges that show where God saved me in my storm. So have I laid everything, my storms, at the feet of Jesus? Have you laid your storms at the feet of Jesus? I'll just finish with this. Peter started to sink because he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the high waves around him. His faith wavered when he realized what he was doing. We probably will never walk on water, but we may, and some of us are, walking through tough situations. If we focus on the waves of difficult circumstances around us, without faith in Jesus to help, then we too will sink. So to maintain your faith when situations are difficult, focus on Jesus' power and not your own power. And then you will be water walkers 2. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've let us get through your word today, even with heavy hearts. We continue to lift Carolyn up and the rest of the family, the kids that will be coming in from California. Make everything to go as well as possible for her and the family. And then help us as a church to know what to do and how to help. But the thing we can do for sure is we can pray. And Lord, we ask you to give her peace, the family peace, and give us, Dave's church family, peace through all this too. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, what's the closing? Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen. I'm glad you